From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to look at the cash grain market, and we'll hear from ag economist Daryl Good about ethanol swaps and some unique possibilities for this coming year in order to keep a mature market growing. And then as we close out our program today, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is public radio for the farming world. More on that and your involvement, too, as we make our way through the program today. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here, the way the numbers settled up on the Chicago CME Group this afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit finished the nearby soft red, a little bit higher for the afternoon. That May contract at 6.24¾, up a quarter of a cent. July at 6.30, 14¼ higher. And September soft red at 6.45, up 13¼ for the day. The hard red in Kansas City at 6.46½, up 12 cents. From the corn pit nearby, May futures 6.21, 19¼ higher. July at 6.12, up 18 cents. September $5.55, up 15¼. And December at 5.41¾, up 13 cents. March futures 5.52½, up 12¼. The May at 5.60½ for next year, up at 12 cents. And next year's December futures, 2013, at $5.41¼, up 10¾ on the afternoon. May soybean futures, $14.15¾, up 8 cents. July at $14.21, up 7½. August, $14.10½, up 8½. September, $13.75½, up 7¼. And November beans, $13.42½, up 4¾ a bushel. January futures, $13.43¾. Up 4 cents. The bean meal futures finished $1.30 higher at $391.90, and the bean oil at $55.17, down 2 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the June contract at $115.85, up $1.25. August at $118.75, up 60. April feeders at $150.87½, down 52½. The May at $152.07½, a nickel higher for 100 pounds. The August contract in the feeders unchanged on the day at $155.52½. May lean hogs $88.47½, up $1.22½ on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. May crude oil futures, $102.37 a barrel. That's 30 cents lower on the afternoon. Ethanol at $2.16¾, 4¾ higher. Natural gas at $1.90¾, down 4½ cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.12¼. That's 0.6¢ higher. And the gold futures, $1,640.60 an ounce, up $1.80. The U.S. dollar at 79.56, currently down 0.02. The CRB index at 299.30, that's 1.15 higher on the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes from the National Weather Service yet this afternoon, says we'll see mostly sunny skies, a high of 78 degrees with a south-southwest wind at 16 to 18 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 25. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 53 degrees with a south-southwest wind between 10 and 16, gusting to 22. And then Friday, showers will be likely, mainly before 1 in the afternoon. Central time, of course, cloudy, a high near 59 degrees with a north-northwest wind in the Urbana-Champaign area at 9 to 15 miles an hour, gusting to 25. There should be rainfall as well. Chance of precipitation is set at 60%. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 38 with a north wind at 11 to 14, gusting to 17. Saturday, mostly sunny and a high near 56 with a northeast wind at 11 miles per hour. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high of 59 degrees. On Monday, sunny and 62. Monday night, clear and 44. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 51 degrees. When we get closer to the bottom of the half hour, we'll close out our program. We'll have a discussion about the agricultural weather forecast with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, will join us here on a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, from time to time, we come to our listeners here at Illinois Public Media, because, of course, we're public radio for the farming world, and ask you to make a pledge of financial support. Now, I know not all of you listen on the public radio station. Some of you are on some commercial affiliates of our programming. Some of you listen on the web. But no matter how you listen, when we break things down, more than 40% of the budget that goes to help produce programs like this one actually come from you, our listeners. And if we make a difference to the way you market your grain, if Dave Dickey, your Director of Agriculture Programming, and I give you enough information during the day, in the evening, with our Ag Outlook panels, with our newsletter over the weekend, and it really helps you, then maybe, just maybe, now is the time to help us out as well by pledging your financial support. We're asking you, of course, for dollars. Dave and I like the $120 level, don't we, Dave?
Indeed we do. We think that is fair market value for what you receive in terms of agricultural information. More is great, less is fine as well. You pick the level, though. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Todd, you know there are times when our agricultural audience needs information right now. They need it instantly. They need to know what the overseas markets were doing. They need to know how corn closed today. We're in the business of providing them that information as many different ways as we can, including the latest, which is m.willag.org, our mobile phone application, so people can go right there and on demand get the information they need. Mm-hmm. But it has a price, and that price is their level of support at 217-244-9455.
No, and Dave, we have a challenge today. We're not only going to get money, hopefully, from our listeners. Hopefully, they'll dial in and pledge financial support. You know, $120 is great. But frankly, Dave and I would really like whatever amount you're going to give. The more, the better. that would really do it. Sure. If you can do better, that's fine. One of the things about agriculture is we know that we cycle. So there are really good times and there are really poor times. And you know, if you've listened to us for very long, there have been times in the past where I simply said, don't worry about it. We're in the middle of a pledge drive. We understand. Right now, you're probably still in the middle of a good time. We understand, but maybe a little more would be good. And if you do, we'll make a few extra bucks in our back pocket, right?
That's right, because AgriGold, when we hear from 20 supporters of agricultural programming today, will add $500 to our agricultural kitty. So far, we've heard from 14. Thus far, if my math is right, we have six more to go during this program, during the closing market report. You can be one of those six and help us make that $500 challenge by going to your phone, giving us a call at 217-244-9455, or go online to our secure web pledge site at willpledge.org.
Actually, you can do the online at willag.org and then hit willpledge.org up in the right-hand side of the page if you're used to going to our own website or you happen to have that bookmarked. Or you can call in again at 217-244-9455. You can write us a check. You can Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. Doesn't take very long. It's really simple to do. The important thing is that you actually do it. In just a moment, we'll give you one of those extra reasons why that happens, because Dan Zwicker will be here to take up the agricultural futures markets.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
On the phone line for a Thursday afternoon, Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
How you doing, Todd?
I am doing really well. It's a beautiful day. I know the farmers are in the field and they're moving. We haven't talked to you for a couple of weeks. What's changed, if anything, in your mind?
Well, probably since I talked last, been on vacation the last two Thursdays, is probably the speed of new crop planting. I mean, the earliness of spring breaking early, and then of course USDA's big plantings number basically sent corn into a tailspin over the past several weeks, and basically what was bullish or what was bearish corn is bullish soybeans. You know, so the corn soybean ratio has been indicating for some time that soybeans would gain on corn, and that's exactly what that has done over the past 30, 40 days.
You think that will continue?
I think so. I don't think the bean prices, while being very attractive, I think farmers with an early spring like we've had, I don't talk to very many that's going to switch. I think there's been a few that's maybe switched a few beans. But for the most part, I think those corn acres are going to go ahead and get planted, might even end up with a few more acres if the weather forecast of warm and dry basically continues for the next couple of weeks.
You were feeling your oats, so to speak, I suppose, a few weeks ago, thinking that the corn market should rally on a whole bunch of things, I think. Have you changed your mind on that one?
No, I haven't. I mean, the stocks report fell the bulls' way. It did show smaller than expected stocks. The only thing is that USDA chose not to lower carryout. They probably could have lowered carryout rather than 800. It could have went down to 600 pretty easy. Because the stocks came in 150 bushels less than what everybody was thinking. So, you know, you and I think you're going to see in the June report, you're going to see extremely tight stocks. And because this break in prices, one of the reasons why we popped here today is end users just came in from all over the place to buy yesterday's break. And then, of course, an overnight trade, rumors are out that China picked up some corn on the break also, and that's why corn was able to jump higher. Now, on a weekly basis, it looks like your new crop corn could close higher here for the week. I think that's enough to maybe say that we have an early 10-week cycle low in place, an early 20-week cycle low in place. Old crop, we'll have to see what kind of day we have tomorrow, whether or not old crop will be able to close higher. But no, I'm still in the camp that there's room for this market to go higher. I kind of feel that the dollar is still vulnerable to a tailspin to the downside, but so far that really hasn't happened. But if that would happen, I think that would fluff up the whole commodity index. I look at the CCI index, I think it's carving out a head and shoulders bottom formation. So I'm in the camp that the central bankers are going to continue to print money, and the more money they print, the higher raw commodity prices are going to go.
And so some of it just on inflation?
I'd say currency devaluation.
Okay. Different sort of thing, but right. Roughly speaking. So I've got another question for you then. If we get to June, we have the grain stocks report, and it truly does show a really, really tight supply, as you suspect it will. Is that enough to offset what many are thinking might be a 2-bushel national average gain because of the early planting season?
Well, that'll be the question. I mean, that's what the stocks report could come out awfully bullish. But if we do have a good-looking crop coming at us on that date, the maturity levels are 2 weeks ahead of time, and the rains have come, and the crop really looks good, no, it'll probably have minimal impact, because probably what you'll see is upwards of 200 million bushels of new crop corn work its way into the current marketing year, and that would be able to probably be enough to keep the pipeline coming. But I think USDA is, from what I see on usage numbers, ethanol demand, I think you've the current grind, the USDA is too low on the grind. I think grind's much higher. I still agree with Daryl and Chris and them that the feed usage number still does not look right. So I think stocks are probably pretty skinny, and we'll have to just – and then if China is a decent buyer in here over the summer months, things could get quite interesting yet. And we got a long ways to go. We're not even in May 1 yet. Now, mm-hmm. I do know that the corn is up and going, and you have to go with the trend, but – As a rule, when things look real good, there's always something comes along to dim those prospects.
We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well.
Mm-hmm. Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet with your financial support? I know we got two more, one from Fithy and one, I think, from Cabry, Illinois. That means we probably have four yet to go, and we're ready to rock and roll to do that. You can dial in right now at 217-244-9455. More on that in just a moment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Okay, now's the time. Dial them in right now. We need four more numbers, four more of you, maybe you yourself, to dial in at 217-244-9455 to help us out. If you do, AgriGold will put another $500 in the kitty at WILL. And Mark Leonard, that makes a big difference to the bottom line and helps us make it through the year each and every year, doesn't it?
Well, it's what membership drives are all about. Is this is how we raise the money to pay for the services, whether it's the acquired national programming or, in this case, the information-rich local programming. And, you know, I hear your programming on the car radio at home, in the office all the time, but to actually sit here and see it in person is really impressive. There is more information per minute on this program than anything else I think that we have on the air or anyone has on the air. This is a dense program. And it is clear to me, not being from an agricultural background, it is clear to me that this is in a very, very important part of our local economy and local industry, and that it is a information-dependent a field, and that this is a lifeline of that information, and that you have come to rely on us and to trust us. And in turn, we have come to rely on you and to trust you that you will voluntarily support the program. This is one service where you don't have to pay in advance. You pay as you go and as you see fit. It is voluntary. That does not mean that it is free. Someone has to pay the cost of this, and I think that Todd and Dave every single day earn your trust and earn your support with the quality in-depth reporting that goes on. Now, I tune in and a lot of it is a mystery to me, and I've been meaning for the longest time to look up and ask what you mean by ethanol grind. I hear that term daily, and I don't have a clue what ethanol grind is.
Ethanol grind is the amount of corn that goes through the plants that produce ethanol, and that is the grind. So the number of bushels of corn that go through the plants to produce a gallon of ethanol.
And that varies.
And it varies every day because we use a little bit less or more day by day, and it changes with price at all times.
So is it dependent upon the demand?
It is dependent upon demand, absolutely.
Excellent.
And that demand comes from consumers. So
fascinating.
You at the gasoline pump, because you're putting on 10% ethanol in almost all gallons anymore.
Right.
And that makes a difference.
You know, that's fascinating. And it does help people who are affected by the agricultural economy but aren't necessarily involved directly for the rest of us to get some sense of what this all means, because it is complicated and it is mysterious. And I get asked an awful lot why we have agricultural programming on our air. People who are not within the industry say, well, you know, why don't you put something else there? Why are you doing it? It's obviously you've committed a lot to it. It's a tiny, tiny audience, right? And I'm able to turn around and say it's not a tiny audience. It's an extremely loyal audience, and it is an audience that supports the service at the highest level. And that is the most convincing argument to the doubters, to the critics of why we do it, is to say, you know what, they do more than pay their own way. They pay their fair share and then some. And we're proud to be able to serve this community, because commercial broadcasters, by and large, have slowly abandoned producing this kind of content. Now, you may be listening on a commercial radio station right now, and that's great. But, you know, the actual content and the actual programming comes from WILL and the University of Illinois. And that's the piece that, in terms of content creation, is very important for us.
Absolutely. Some of that does. We're so humbled, Mark, that you were able to come in and talk with us today. And if you agree with Mark that this is a great service, please do dial in this number, 217-244-9455. Our affiliates, thank you so much. If you're listening in Watsico or Hoopston or Clinton or Kewaunee or Taylorville or Rochelle or Charleston, we're glad to have you along. And if you're not used to dialing in, do it now at 217-244-9455 and make a pledge of financial support. Dave Dickey and I really do like the $120 level.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, up next, you know, the government-defined market for corn-based ethanol in the United States is maturing, and as you'll hear in just a moment, the current regulations and economics suggest some unique ethanol swaps may occur in the near future to keep the market for corn-based ethanol growing. Here's the short form of the situation. One, corn-based ethanol is maxing out its government-regulated portion of the U.S. fuel supply. Two, those same regulations require advanced biofuels, ethanol not made from corn, for instance, to be used this year, next year, and into the future to meet U.S. energy consumption goals. And three, there is more capacity to produce corn-based ethanol in the United States than the government regulations allow to be used. Well, here's how Darrell Good, University of Illinois ag economist, thinks this list could play out.
We're facing an advanced biofuels mandate here in 2012 that will increase in 2013. U.S. corn-based ethanol does not qualify for that advanced, but Brazilian ethanol does. And there's some thinking that we might see ourselves in a position of importing a lot of Brazilian ethanol to meet that advanced biofuels mandate. And in return, we export a lot of corn-based ethanol so that to restock their domestic supply.
Brazilian ethanol is made from sugarcane. The only difference between it and ethanol made in the United States is the feedstock and a law that expressly prohibits corn-based ethanol from qualifying as an advanced biofuel. The import-export swap of corn-based ethanol for sugarcane-based ethanol, says Good, sets up a scenario for continued growth in the domestic corn-based ethanol market.
As illogical as that sounds, that's what we're talking about. But the other part of that is Brazil would want our ethanol if their domestic supplies remain tight, if they get back into a more abundant sugar supply, lower sugar prices, so that they can expand their own domestic ethanol production. They would be able to export ethanol and really not need us to replace that with corn-based ethanol out of the U.S. So that's part of the dynamic of how that's all going to unfold over the next year or two.
Well, another part of the dynamic that's just as unique as swapping one type of ethanol for another is deciding where and how the advanced biofuel ethanol will be consumed in order to meet governmental mandates.
As you go into 2013 and beyond, that advanced biofuel mandate increases and increases sharply by 2022, and the real question is what do you do with that? I mean, gasoline consumption right now is declining fairly dramatically, so I think we're running into some of the difficulties that come from the politics and economics, and we're just going to be at a decision point sometime here in the fairly near future of what becomes of those mandates.
As for this year, Good thinks it is possible to swap out corn-based ethanol for sugarcane-based ethanol and couple those imported gallons with soybean-based biodiesel to meet the advanced biofuels mandate. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is here to take up the cash grain market for the afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Hey, can you tell me really pretty quickly what it is that things look like around your area and how far along planting has been done?
Yeah, I'd say in the area we're maybe 75-80% done on corn planting right in this immediate area. A lot of guys are done with planting corn. Nobody's really planting any beans. Corn looks really good. Nobody got hurt by frost or freeze to speak of, so I think everybody's in a pretty good mood around here.
Earlier in the broadcast, we talked to Dan Zwicker. He's still feeling friendly to the corn market. How about you?
Well, you know, we heard some rumors about China stepping in and buying some corn, and then we have the exports come out this morning for this past week, you know, and they were terrible. So it'll be interesting to see if next week's go ahead and show maybe some of those purchases. And if that's the case, I'm pretty friendly to cash corn. As far as the new crop corn goes, I think it's pretty cautiously, I don't even know if I'd call it optimistic right now. I'm just kind of waiting to see what the planting progress looks like next week, and I definitely want to be hedging some corn before we get too far along in planting.
Bids are?
Bids would be cash corn 628, fall 517, cash beans $14, and fall 1318.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. We'll be back in just a moment when we'll take a look at the ag weather forecast.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Risk Management Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Steel Star Metal Roofing and Siding. Thank you for your continued support.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. We're hoping to make our AgriGold pledge. Have we gotten close yet?
I need the fastest finger dialer to call right now at 217.
Is that it? Just one?
244-9455. One phone call.
Oh, one phone call.
For our $500 from AgriGold. The quickest dialer will help us make that goal. You can be the one right now at 217-244-9455.
Oh, please do it. That'll mean $500 to us. Do it right now. You should do it. 217-244-9455 on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast. Agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the weekend.
Okay, for the weekend, we've got showers coming through northern portions of Illinois and mostly in Wisconsin and eastern Iowa this afternoon and this evening. They'll spread on southeastward and fade a bit and then return further south in the state later tonight and tomorrow, so that there may be some areas that will miss the rain, mostly in southwestern portions of Illinois, I think. Showers will be followed by cooler temperatures again, and we'll see temperatures getting down into the 30s on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and a good chance of some frost in northern areas. I would think most areas will have to be north of I-74 to see any frost or freeze. It might be some pockets of cold air, but nothing quite like what we had a week or so ago. And Then the pattern clears out, warms up as we move into Monday, Tuesday. Some more showers likely, maybe about late Thursday or Friday. And we get back into the warm side at the end of the week.
You think the Chinese corn crop is off to a good start? Have they been having a good growing season and planting season?
Yeah, actually they have. We haven't seen any problems out there with their weather. They had a fairly open winter, and they've also had some opportunities for showers, which aren't always expected in that part of the world this early in the season, as the wet monsoon starts to work its way northward through China. I think things look pretty good for a good start in China on that. We're also in a third Thursday here, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Time really flies these days, and so we have our extended forecast for you. For the U.S., and we're looking at the month of May. National Weather Service forecasters are expecting temperatures above normal across the southern half of the U.S. and near normal or equal chances, as they call it, in the northern half. And if it's going to be any cool weather, it'll be in the northwest and also in the heart of the Midwest. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio may actually have a bit of a cool May. Precipitation, dry in the northwest, but good precip most of the rest of the country, and that's the outlook for May.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Meteorologist Pete Leavitt, have you dialed in yet? 217-244-9455. Please do so even after our program's done. We'll continue to take your financial support for ag programming.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.